Let's begin this journey to help you start living the life you were intended to live. So grab your pen and paper and let's start to rewrite your story. Hey, 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 how's everybody doing? How is everybody doing out there? Not sure where you're listening from, but I am in Florida and I am loving the sunshine right now, even though I'm in my office. I would love to be on a beach, but hey, you know what? I'm very grateful for the sun right now, and just sunshine is the kind of day that I'm having today. Now, welcome to episode 21. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I so appreciate you guys. I didn't want to go without recognizing some of the reviews that have been left on my podcast. The next one that I want to just kind of give out a shout out to is the She Is podcast. That's another podcast platform that you guys can go and listen to. But she left this on June 18th, and it says, "Love the practical tools shared to help us live out our purpose." Susan Beth. Thank you so much, Susan Beth. I really appreciate your review. Guys, help me to be a carrier of hope for those people. Do you know that you can help influence others just by even sharing about the podcast or even writing about what you learned on whatever podcast you're listening to? Even this one today, you can post and say, "Hey, podcast this, and this is what I got out of it," or even what you felt. So please make sure that you subscribe and leave a review, because you'll also get the latest updates of when I place another podcast in the queue. So without further ado, I want to talk about a topic today that may be a little hard. I do want to give a disclaimer that I am not a doctor. I am a counselor, and I don't know it all either, but just wanted to name this topic. It's okay not being okay. It's not okay to stay there. I'm actually going to be talking about depression and some coping skills for depressions that you can use. And so I want to ask you right off the bat, have you ever experienced depression? Or do you even know what that is? A lot of times people are not sure and they're searching the web, or feel like they are but don't want nobody to know. It's like a little secret. And today I kind of want to hit on those things. I want to hit on what depression is. I want to hit on things that you can do. A lot of people go undiagnosed. And one of the things that you will also be able to just kind of see, like, do I have this or not? And if so, if any of these points were like, I think I have this, I want to advise you to see a doctor or professional or primary care doctor and have them evaluate you, not you self-assess or self-diagnose, but have them give you a diagnosis on depression if that is what you're facing today. So maybe you're not aware of what a depression is, or the experiences with that. So basically it kind of starts off with maybe a temporary grief or sadness that now becomes intense and includes feelings of being maybe helpless, hopeless, worthless, or extremely sad. And let's say something has happened, because there is environmental, situational things that could happen in our lives that cause depression. And I'll also hit on a little bit of that, of my own experience with depression. Now, depression typically is a medical condition. So that is typically diagnosed based on personal symptoms that you may have. But many individuals go without being diagnosed. And so what I look for in a client is that I'm looking for five things that can consist of, okay, this person may have depression. So I kind of want to hit on some of those today. So if they have, you know, five or more symptoms, this is what I look at, and also on the time span of that. Has it been in the last 2 weeks? Is also important to know. So number one would be feeling tired or lack energy most days. And hey, we live in a world where we're hustling and bustling, so we may feel tired. So it doesn't mean that you have depression if you're exhausted or fatigued. But this is just something that it's basically most days out of a 7-day period, you are feeling tired, lack of energy. The second one is feeling sad and have a lot of grief almost every day. Third one is feelings of guilt or unworthiness almost daily. Fourth one is feeling restless or you slow down a lot almost daily. Fifth one is inability to sleep or you're sleeping too much on most days. The next one is thoughts of death or suicide. Or you have a lack of desire to participate in activities that used to give you pleasure and you would enjoy. You're no longer enjoying those things anymore and even have caused a little bit of isolation. The last one I have here is frequent headaches or body aches for no apparent reason. So out of all of these, I really try to pick apart five of them. And a lot of clients will have a lot or have two of them. Doesn't mean that they're depressed. But again, I want to give this disclaimer that if you are feeling that way, and even any of these that you felt like, wow, I have a lot of those, I want to encourage you to talk to someone, talk to a professional, talk to a doctor, or go to your primary care and ask for a well-being check and let them know how you're feeling. That's going to be really important. So if you're experiencing some of these symptoms, it really is time to seek help and seek advice, you know, from your medical doctor or even tell someone. Now, thing is that, you know, if you're feeling like you're struggling with depression, I really want to give you some of these coping skills today that I feel like will help you. And these are just basic practical tools to get you to know that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay here. So if you are in that state of depression, you feel, or sadness or despair, or maybe you're just going through a really hard time that's caused depression, I want to give you some coping skills that I know that will help you if you apply them. Now, depression can sap our energy, even the things that you really enjoy doing. And so that's a good indicator as well, like what's going on that's caused you to no longer enjoy life or enjoy the things that you used to do. And I want you to dig deeper on that. So let's start with some coping skills. The first one is you're going to choose an activity that you likely will complete. So there's different areas in your lives that I want you to kind of look at, like where can I choose to just apply some time to it and complete it, okay? We tend to be less active when we're going through depression, and like I said, we lose the joy of things, but even a little bit of an activity can help stop this cycle. So let's look at maybe hobbies. Do you enjoy gardening or what sport or drawing or hiking or playing with a pet or cooking? I've actually enjoyed watching the cooking channel lately, and I feel like it's a form of therapy because I have been cooking up a lot of stuff because I've been doing the keto diet, doctor recommended, and I'm like, how do you eat keto? Okay, let me find out what's out there. And I've really enjoyed watching people cook and show you the product. So I find that's a way of therapy for me and learning new things. So maybe you want to venture into that. The next area is either personal care. You know, if you're not used to getting dressed up, dress up, get a haircut, do a new hair change, prepare a healthy meal, or just even doing some stealth talk with your personal care. The other one is socializing. Like, when was the last time you went out with friends or called a friend or texted a friend? Or went out to dinner with a friend, or even visited your family, or maybe you were in a social club or group and you're no longer doing it. Let's get back into it. Even if it's a little thing that you do, even a call or even as simple as a text message. The next one is responsibilities like cleaning, housework, paying bills, which is no fun, but even professional development. Even things that you want to choose to grow in, like self-development. What do I want to grow in my life? Well, let's say it's depression today. I want to grow in this area. Not quite sure how, but I'm going to apply some of these things that Sandy is telling me. The next one is exercise. Why not go for a walk? When some of my clients, I tell them, go outside, walk down to the end of your block and back, and either count the houses or just really take in the air, the sunlight, the rays on you, that vitamin D. But let's do something to get out, especially when you're struggling with depression. The number one thing that individuals like to do is isolation and be in the dark and away from everything and everyone. I want to challenge you to just get out there and get some rays, go for a walk or get a, you know, do a bike ride or weightlifting. or follow an exercise program. They have them on YouTube or even online, or swim, or, you know, or practice yoga. And if you heard one of my podcasts, I talked about yoga that I just thought, oh my God, this is crazy, people. What is this warrior pose and whatnot? But, and I used to laugh at people that used to do yoga because I was like, that's that foo-foo stuff. They're meditating on stuff. I was so just sore with a Pilates class I did. And then they did a little bit of meditation at the end. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to judge this ever again. I am in so much pain and so sore for like 3 or 4 days after that. So if you've never tried yoga, I hear there's all kinds of different yogas too, which you can try, right? So the very first thing we want to do is choose an activity in one of these areas. Then we want to start small. So break some of these into smaller pieces. So let's say you want to do 1 out of the 5 or 2 out of the 5. You know, some activity is better than none. That's going to be really important. And then you want to make a plan on this. Set an alarm as a reminder that this is what you're going to start doing, even if it's once a week. And then, you know, practice a hobby, you know, immediately, maybe after you eat or dinner, or go for a walk after you've had, you know, dinner, things like that. But you want to start small, you want to make a plan, and you can even decide to bring a friend if you need motivation, if you need accountability. So maybe include a friend, then you get to hit socializing as well. And it becomes fun because then you're walking in this, like in Florida, it's extremely hot. But then maybe you have a friend there that can just kind of join you and you don't even know and feel the pain because you're enjoying being with them and just talking. So choose activities that you like to complete. Practice any kind of activities that you've chosen to do out of the 5 I gave you. And just improve on consistency. Start off with once a week and then maybe twice a week and so forth. The next thing is that we want to have social support. So isolation, like I said, is the biggest thing with depression. It includes things like fatigue, really low self-esteem, anxiety, which don't help whatever is going on in your life, whatever that issue is, that challenge, the problem is. It just kind of just makes it grow even more. And so resisting like social support or isolation, you need to lean on them. We're not meant to live on our own island. And this can help you to relieve stress and even depression in your lives. So lean on existing relationships that you may have. Like make it a point to like reach out to a friend or family member. And if this is difficult, or if it's not nearby, then even do Zoom. Like I've had friends that I go on Zoom with that I haven't seen, you know, that I'm like, we have to catch up even if I see your face on Zoom. Now, everything seems to be on Zoom nowadays ever since COVID, but hey, at least I get to see them face to face versus a text message, a voice text, or even a phone call. Just seeing them does something to me. So I want to encourage you to do that. Or maybe do a game together or coffee over the phone. BYOB on Zoom. What's your favorite beverage? You may like doing something like that. And say yes to socializing. You know, depression makes it tempting to just really stay home and stay isolated from people. But make it a habit of saying yes to any kind of opportunities. If a friend reaches out, you can tell yourself, you know what? I really need to get out because I am trying to grow in this area. And if you don't have friends, then join a support group and connect with others who are dealing with something similar to you, you know, or you may benefit from hearing someone else's life. And it makes you feel like, have you ever had that situation where you feel like I must be the only one that's experienced this? And then you go around your friends or, you know, or a group of people and you hear like, oh my gosh, I'm not going crazy. This is not just happening to me. How are they dealing with it? And it also makes you feel good to know, like, I'm not the only one. And how are they overcoming? Maybe they can help shed some light for you. Another thing that I tell my clients is create a grateful journal or a notebook. Or keep a little notebook or, you know, a little padding on your nightstand at night. And think of 3 good things that have happened to you that day. You know, negative thinking is definitely with depression. Positive experiences are minimized while negative experiences are magnified. So of course, with depression, you're going to think everything is going bad because it kind of bleeds into one another. And then, you know, having a grateful journal really helps to combat the tendency by really shifting your focus onto something positive that's taking place in your life versus what's not going good in your life, which we can all do that without even having depression, guys, because our battle is in the mind, and there's so many negative thoughts that come throughout our day-to-day that it's overwhelming. Like, sometimes I've had to tell myself, like, shut up out loud, because I'm like, these thoughts are like really ruminating and I'm starting to believe like this is true. And so write down three good things, you know, write about the positive experiences that maybe happened that day. They can be small. It doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, angelic moment happened. But maybe like the weather was good, and maybe the weather when it rains, it gets you sad and depressed and blue. But maybe it was a sunny day that day. Write about that. Or maybe you were able to go to work and have a great day, you know, or maybe you got a promotion, or maybe a friend reached out to you. But really reflect on, you know, asking yourself some of these things. What are three good things that happened to me? You know, how was that meaningful to me? And how can I experience more of that? And you'll want to repeat this, you know, every day if you can, for at least a week. And I want to hear if you do this, guys, and you don't have to be depressed in order to do this, but I give my clients this when things are going really hard for them in their lives. And I've also done that, where I've had to reflect and step outside of whatever is really bogging me down or feeling like a challenge that I continue to struggle with. It's like reflecting on what's going good, right? And you never know the whole situation of what somebody's going through, and you have to remember that. And knowing that, you know what, I'm not called to be perfect and it's okay, but I choose to be grateful about this and whatever that is. And the last one is mindfulness. Now, guys, like, I thought about yoga and Pilates. I thought, what are these poo-poo people doing? I couldn't stand the word mindfulness. And I also thought it was like some kind of cult being raised in a Christian environment, thinking like meditation, that's of the devil. Guys, meditation is good, okay? Let's just go ahead and throw that out the window. But I love mindfulness because it begins to pay attention to your present moment. It means taking a step back and noticing the world and noticing your thoughts and noticing your feelings without any kind of judgment. And the goal of mindfulness is to really simply observe your surroundings. You'd be surprised if you sit in a park and just watch people. I know it sounds creepy, but really watch people. You can really observe and kind of sense people out when you're watching them. So I'm not saying to do this, guys, because that may feel kind of creepy. But just watching your environment, being more aware. Mindfulness really helps to reduce all that stuff that's going on in our head and the worry. You know, I was actually reading in the Bible, like, focus on what's happening today and not worry about tomorrow, because it's really not going to make anything change when we worry. And so mindfulness is really good. It's, you know, a technique where you can just really close your eyes and begin to quiet your body. You know, and one way of practicing mindfulness is through meditation. And maybe you are a Christian. You can put on some worship music or some spa music or white noise music and put a timer on for at least 5 minutes and really begin to simply just focus your attention on your breathing, also on the here and now. And you want to choose a time and place for that. I have a client of mine that actually created her room as a safe haven place and created a little space in her room where she has a chair and table and teas. And this is where she goes when life is overwhelming, which is so awesome. Like, you can even change the color of your room. That will bring in brightness. Remember, another client said, I went through this phase 1 year in my life where everything was black, and I even painted my room black and it was dark. And she's like, now I'm feeling like I need to just change my whole room and make it look bright because I'm in a different place. And I want to encourage you to do that. Like, my office is like the Tiffany & Company blue. And so if you can envision that, I have pinks, I have polka dots, I have zebras. I love all of that. And this is my safe space. This is where I work out of. And I want it to feel like, oh, I'm so glad to be here. And so you want to create that environment for yourself that you're just like, oh, it's so good to feel feel and be here right now. So you want to set a time and a place that's quiet, comfortable for you. And maybe set aside, if 15 to 30 minutes is not good, maybe 5 minutes, and put your timer on as you're first venturing out to try mindfulness. You have to at least try it once. I tell some of my clients and they're like, mm-mm. So I have them do a mindfulness technique of 5 minutes with me so that it can at least experience and say, oh yeah, I did that. Didn't like it, but I did it. So, hey, appease me. Take a chance at it. I promise. Like, it's a good thing. So, you know, when you practice this, it leads to really good results. And some practice is better than none, guys. And your posture, like if you want to sit in a chair or lay down in a comfortable place or on the floor and even dim the lights, you know, close your eyes and let your shoulders and arms relax. I know with me, a lot of times when I'm stressed, everything gets on my shoulders and my back and my neck. And I feel like a stiff board. And I have to learn, like, okay, I can tell that I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. So I need to let that go. And I know that you can hear all this little chingling or ringling around. It's my dog Lola that's walking around and I'm like, hello. Like, you know, like if she knows that I'm podcasting right now and recording. But that is the little like clinging noise you hear to a little collar next to me. So I apologize, but this is my life, guys. So the next one is being aware of your breath, like focusing on your breath with mindfulness. Like notice the sensation of the air that's traveling through your nose and through your mouth. Notice like the rising of your chest going in and out. And then be careful with the wondering mind, guys, because a lot of times our minds wonder. Like when I'm doing my quiet time, I can think of 500 million things that I need to do. And I'm like, oh my God, I got to put it on the list. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I've had to really like focus. Bring this back to what I'm doing in this moment. What am I getting out of all these bombarding that has to take place? So sometimes it takes a little bit because your mind will wonder, but you have to almost speak to yourself like, no, I'm sitting here for 5 minutes and I'm going to try again. And so I just want you to try and practice that. And I wasn't going to share this, but I think it's going to be really important too. Those are some coping skills that are practical. But I also wanted to share a spiritual component skill with you. You know, I want you to know that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay where you're at. Not just with depression, just with wherever you are at today and whatever you are facing today. It's okay that I'm not okay. These things are making me uncomfortable. I want to validate that because sometimes we're not okay. I don't care who calls, what you're doing. Sometimes at the end of the day, it's just you're not doing good. And it's okay. Like, give your time. Give that space in your life time. But it's not okay to stay there after you've been there for a long time and just stay parked. I want to really encourage you today to do one of these coping skills that I talked about. But I also want to bring in a spiritual component, you know, that I know has helped me. And I know it could really help you. It's so easy, guys, for us to step into an unhealthy mindset and where we begin to beat ourselves up. How many times are we like, oh my gosh, did I do this again? Oh my goodness, am I struggling with this again? Oh my gosh, here I am again, or here's another failed relationship, or I lost it on my kids. And a true story about that, I actually want to just kind of be a little bit raw here in this moment and in this space. I've overreacted as a parent. I can't tell you how many times throughout my life. I have two adult children and one teenager that's 13 going on 30. And a lot of times I've allowed things out of fear to just overreact and really like put the hammer down. Or even a situation I had even with my daughter the other day that I was like, you know what? God was telling me that's not how you handle it. That's not encouraging her to move forward. And then with that came, I started beating myself up. I'm thinking I am a counselor and I can't even get it right with my own kid. And yet I tell people on coping skills and tools to help them and I can't even help myself. So, you know, it's so easy to step into those unhealthy mindsets and think that we have to be superwoman. My husband came home that day and said to me, what's wrong? I can tell that you're bothered. I was restless. I started vacuuming. I started cleaning because I was just beating myself up. And he finally stopped and looked at me and said, what is wrong? Tell me what's wrong. I can tell something's wrong. And I named a whole bunch of stuff. But the biggest thing that was eating away at me was the way I handled my discussion with my daughter was not right. And then I was beating myself saying, like, I do this for a living. I should know how to do this. And I missed the mark completely. Like, how is that empowering her? Like, how am I empowering her as her mom? Like, I should know better. And he looked at me and he said, you're a great mother. And he said, and underneath that shirt, there's not an S underneath there, Sandy. There's not an S for Superwoman. You feel like you have to be Superwoman and get everything right. And he says, you're so hard on yourself. And I just started to cry. He kept saying, you're a great mom. And it's okay. You had a bad day. So now what are we going to do with it? And he sat there and he prayed with me. And I cried. And he hugged me. And then I decided, I'm going to go and talk to my kid and ask her to forgive me. And man, the way that my daughter looked at me, I said, I completely messed up here. I'm owning it. I need to know if you can forgive me. And you can say no, or if you need time, I understand. But the way I handled that situation was not okay. And see, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. I would have stayed with those negative thoughts in my mind, beating myself up. And really, it could have easily bled into the entire rest of the evening and even days and weeks. I've seen it in my own life, okay? And I want to share just a personal story with you when it came to depression. And I had lost my mother in 2007. Also find out I was pregnant as well. But I was really believing for her healing. And my mom was healed of cancer one time before that. But the second time that it came, it just wreaked havoc. And really just took over her entire body. My mom was 47 years old when she passed away. I'm 46, guys. And yes, my mom had me at a young age. But she was so young. And I was so angry at God because I was really, really believing for her healing. Really, really thinking, like, she's going to come out of this. And she didn't. She passed away. And I remember in that time of my life, about 6 months prior to that, our neighbors across the street that we won to the Lord had died. And got hit in a motorcycle accident by a drunk driver, and both parents passed away. And so I had that sitting that I had not dealt with, and then I was taking care of my mom, and then my mom passed, and then I was pregnant. And then I thought, God, like, seriously? Like, one thing after the other? Like, really? Like, why did you even bring my neighbors to me? For what? And then it's like, I'm believing for healing, and you healed my mom the first time, and what happened now? Like, where are you? I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but sometimes I've talked to God and it just seems like I'm in a desert all by myself. There's not even crickets ringing, guys. But it was where I was at. And I went through a depression for 2 years. I isolated myself. I didn't want anything to do with any kind of community, any Christian community. I didn't want Bible verses. I didn't want people coming over to visit. I didn't want meals. I didn't want anything. I went into a serious isolation where I hated people, I was angry at God, and felt like he really let me down. And then when I saw my doctor and he tried to say, you're going through, you know, you've had a lot of loss, so there's grievance, and seems like you're kind of going through some depression. I'm like, don't you even dare write that on my chart, the pride in me. The reality was I was depressed. I was grieving the loss of my neighbors and my mom and where I was at. That in itself will cause depression in us, guys. And so I want to share that story to give you hope, because that's my job here on this end, is to instill hope, to breathe hope into you. I also want to give you some word, some just knowledge word, words that are going to empower you in this season. And it's in Isaiah 41:10 where it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And anywhere it says you, I want you to put your name in that. And that's Isaiah 41:10. The next one is Proverbs 15:13. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed. This is another version of it, like hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a tree of life just causes gladness and causes fruit. And so I really feel like even with some of these scriptures, God is saying that our spirits are going to be crushed, that we're going to have despair. The other scripture I ran upon was Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety is a man in a man's heart weighs them down, but a good word makes him glad. How many times have we felt down in the pit where we felt like nothing's going to get us out of the pit, but then someone says something to us and speaks life? Like it just brings a sense of joy or a smile to our face. And even in this, God is saying, we're going to have anxiety, guys. So don't let it take you down. So whatever you're facing today, don't allow it to take you down. And I also want to proclaim this scripture over your life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not evil, to give you hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. And anywhere it says you, I want you to put your name. So for example, for I know the plans I have for Sandy Cortez, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not evil, to give Sandy Cortez hope and a future. God's word does not come back void. It creates freedom in our lives. John 8:32 is my anthem scripture where it says, and you shall know the truth and it'll set you free. If you're experiencing anxiety, despair, sadness, depression, I want to encourage you to seek help. I want to encourage you to just lean closer into God because He is with you. In those 2 years that I had depression, guys, God was with me every step of the way, and He understood where I was at. I was not ashamed to say how I was acting, but He knew because He's God. And I even felt guilty for being mad at Him. But God was there even in those dark moments. And I don't know what it is you're facing today, but even in those dark moments, God is here with you. I want to give you some tips, and we're going to close with this. I want to encourage you to get out of the pit and seek help and wisdom for whatever it is that you're facing today, whether it's depression, whether it's you're just going through a hard time or a series of things have happened to you. I want you to seek help and wisdom. The other thing is, dig yourself out of that hole of depression. It's time to come out of hiding. And I feel like that's what God wants you to know. It's time to come out of where you've been parked at for so long. And remember that you are here and alive. And I believe it's because God has a plan for you. Because if not, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be working. You wouldn't be doing whatever you're doing. You are alive for a reason. And then begin to ask people to help you along the way. And remember that we're not in this alone, guys. I'm not in your situation. I have no idea what you're facing. But I know what it feels to be in a pit, be in the dumps, be depressed. It's not good. And it can be deadly for our souls. Like, you can see people, if you really start to look at people around, like I said earlier, you can see that on the outside it shows happiness. But do you know how many people I run into that are dying slowly inside? And I don't know if that's you today, but I'm here to instill hope in you. And if you know of anyone who is struggling with depression, reach out to them. Use some of these coping skills with them. Go and share what you've learned with me so you can help them out. Because guess what? Even in those 2 years, there was people calling and leaving me messages and knew that I was just stonewalling everyone that would call, not answering them, not answering texts, not going to church. Mentors, they didn't exist for me because I cut them all out. They still continued to just love me for where I was from and where I was at in that dark space. And loved me. And God was there. God's word says that every tear that we've shed, He's holding it in a jar. So that shows me that He is here with us. And so I want to encourage you that even though you may feel like you're going through this alone, or maybe you're feeling lonely today, I want you to know that you're not alone in this. And that my prayer is that God will bring someone to where you're at today, and that will encourage you and speak life to you. Or even show you, like I even ask God things like make it stupid proof, where I have a bumper sticker and it says something that I needed to hear that day, or a show, or receive the phone call randomly, or I meet somebody on the road that says something to me that I needed that day. That is my prayer for you today. So I hope that these things really helped you. And I'm praying for you because I know that God said that He's orchestrated certain people's lives that He's going to touch through me. And so if you are listening today, it's not by coincidence that you're tuning in, because God wanted to deliver something to you today. He wanted to deliver hope and know that you're not alone. I hope this really ministered to you. And if you know of anyone that's struggling with depression, please forward them this podcast. We can build hope together. You can help me by being an extension of me to them. They don't even know me. And I see that God has done that with me as well, where he has sent people along the way that totally were set up by God to reach me. And I'm so grateful for them, because if somebody had not reached out, I'm not quite sure I would have been here today to be able to do this and share life with you. I hope this ministered to you. I want to speak this over you, for I know the plans he has for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not evil, to give you hope and a future. Even if you're not feeling that today, repeat this over yourself. And if this, actually, you're hearing this and need more help in that, reach out to me. On the summary notes, you'll see my email, that we can work together. And guess what, guys? I offer a 15-minute free consultation. So hey, who doesn't like free 99, right? Take advantage of that. Even if it's 15 minutes that I can instill hope, don't be afraid to reach out. Hashtag do it afraid. Until next time. Thank you for listening to the Carriers of Hope podcast. If you found value in today's episode, will you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the channel? And go ahead and leave me a review. Be sure to share it with your friends and family. And together, we can help breathe hope one life at a time. If you're interested in doing a coaching session, let's connect at carriersofhope.com. And be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Carriers of Hope.